Well, if you have a good mama, you are blessed of God. And I want you to take note, I did not say had. If you ever had her, you still have her. If she was a child of God, no matter where she is now, as far as alive or having passed on, if you had a godly mama, you still have her. She's just with the Lord. And you just have to wait a little while to see her again. And when you do, it will be like the wait was never there. And what a day it will be when you can forever be with your mama again at the feet of the Lord in heaven, where every tear is wiped away, every weakness has been made strength, where the perishable has been replaced with the imperishable, and you will know her in a way like you never knew her before. That blessing of God is still coming. So no matter what stage of life you're in, this today is a happy Mother's Day for you, if that's true for you. I wish I had time to deal with all the ins and outs of the way fallenness has affected motherhood. Every Mother's Day is not happy for every person. And I wish I had time to deal with how God helps those who are dealing with painful circumstances today. I don't. Maybe that's something that needs to come up in the future in a series. But today we are taking a look at a general truth that God intends for all of us, no matter what we've been through, no matter what painful, hard time someone might be going through. We are looking at a truth that generally applies to the whole body of Christ. And so I don't want you to think as we go into this that I'm not mindful of some of the hardships that can be attached to today. I am. The Lord is mindful of those things. But we need to look at a general truth today and hopefully get a solid footing in it as we think about motherhood. So I want you to read with me Genesis 1, 26 through 31, and then I'll pray. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Father, thank you for this truth of your word. No matter where anyone is in life, in this day, I ask your blessing on everyone from this portion of your word. Your blessing in your truth. Your comforting hand where it's needed. And rejoicing where it can be had. We ask this for your glory in motherhood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of today's message is "The Essential Calling of Motherhood" from this passage, specifically verses 26 through 28. There is a difference between honoring mom and honoring motherhood. They are not the same thing. Generally, everyone loves mom, but love for motherhood itself has declined rapidly from generations past. Moms are having a great time today, while motherhood is seen by too many as a hindrance to great times to be had. The late Magaly Laguno, a champion for the unborn, wrote, and I quote, "Of all the attacks launched against motherhood ever since the world began, the most fierce have occurred in the 20th century. The modern movement for the liberation of women has led many women to believe that motherhood is an obstacle to their personal fulfillment," end quote. The late Betty Friedan, in her book, The Feminine Mystique, told her generation of women that the family, and I quote, "is an oppressive institution," and that traditional notions of family were, again to quote, "burying millions of American women alive." Now, we Christians need to expect certain things from those who are not Christians. We do not need to be surprised when those who are not believers do not believe things we see in the Bible. That shouldn't shock us. Our responsibility, though, is to check ourselves against the Bible. We need to check how far that kind of thinking has tainted our own views of motherhood. We need to check our understanding of and attitude toward having and raising children. And I say both having and raising because they're not the same. There are people that want to have children without raising them, and there are people that want to raise children without having them. Motherhood always includes both, generally speaking. Are we biblical in our understanding and attitude? That's what should concern us. Are we biblical in how we see not just mom, but motherhood? Is God pleased with us in this? And I want to particularly ask that of American Christians in our prosperous society. Is God pleased with our priorities in motherhood and in parenting in general? We need to go back to the beginning and take a fresh look at the essential calling of motherhood. 2 points today. God's creation of man in his image, and God's calling for man to multiply his image. The first one, God's creation of man in his image, is in verses 26 and 27. Let's look at it again. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So it's a pretty simple train of thought that we can follow here in the writing of Moses. After making all of the other creatures, the Trinity had a meeting. And in that meeting, they determined to make a creature that reflected them. That's the point. That reflected them and ruled over all of the other creatures. In this determination, this creature is to reflect them and directly represent them in ruling over all of creation under them. That cannot be said about any other living thing on the planet. The triune God, we need to understand, transcends his creation. He made it, but he's not part of it. So within his creation, he wanted to make man with a mind and hands that exercise his dominion over his creation. Therefore, man must be like him. That was the determination. So God followed through on that determination. He created man with the imprint of his own image. He put the image of God in man. That's Moses' emphasis in flipping it in the way he says it. That's what we're to take from that. That's the dynamic. He put the image of God Himself in man. Now, we'll hear a lot of nonsense today about some so-called divine spark in human beings. Throw that garbage in the trash. This is not a divine spark. This is the divine mark. There's a distinct difference. We don't have a spark of divinity, but we do have a mark of the divine. That's the truth of the Bible. In doing this, God created man as male and female so that both of them equally bear His image. That's their value. Let's look at how that played out real quick. Go over to verse 7 in chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man, at that point, became a living being. Go to verse 15. No, verse 18, I'm sorry. In chapter 2. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name, so he was exercising his dominion at that point. Verse 20, the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh. At that place, the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." God creating them in His image does not mean that they looked like Him bodily, but that they were like Him in the essence of their being, standing there in that moment together at the first wedding in human history. That means, guys, that He gave them reason. He gave them emotion, volition, self-awareness, creativity, and morality. And I'm sure that something else could be said, but that is the summation of what it means to be made in the image of God. We carry through attributes from Him that nothing else living can claim. We are, in this, the crowning jewel of His creation. And as King Solomon says about them, the first man and woman, and all to come after the first man and woman, and I quote him, he has also set eternity in their heart, Ecclesiastes 3:11. That leads us to the next point for today. God's calling for man to multiply His image. Verse 28. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, we've talked a lot in the past about things we can know and things we can't know, and where do I always tell you to put your first focus? Focus on what you can know, right? Don't get hung up on the questions you can't answer. That will hinder your growth. There are mysteries of God's mind that we cannot solve. But guys, there are things that cannot be clearer, and this is one of them. There's no mystery here. The earth was wide open and wild. And He told them to fill it up and bring it under control, ruling over all other living things as they lived under Him. Now, We don't need to think long, but we need to think carefully about his decreed way of doing this. He gave them, to put it technically, the procreation commission. And it is crystal clear. This is in our vernacular. Have lots of babies and take over the world. That's what he's telling them to do. You know, great big theological books don't need to be written on this. Have babies, lots of them, and take over the world. You know, think about what else he could have done. That's the way my mind works. How else could he have done it? Well, how did he make Adam in the first place? We read it in verse 7 in chapter 2, from the dust of the ground, right? How many particles of dust on the ground were there on the planet? How many atoms could he have made? Billions, right? At the same time. Everywhere, all at the same time. Come alive. A great worldwide army of Adam, right? He didn't do that, did he? He could have formed billions of men to fill and rule the earth in a moment. But what did he do instead? He made one. And then he made one woman from that one man. And he wanted that first man and that first woman to do what? Be fruitful and multiply yourselves. You know, from the ribs of a billion men, he could have fashioned a billion women. He could have just started off with the whole place filled right up. But he didn't want to do that. He wanted all to come from these two as they reproduced themselves. Guys, this means that he wanted all to be born into this world from that first woman as the first mother. Do you see that? From her first womb would be born all other wombs through which all of his image bearers would be born into his creation. That cannot escape us in this. And in her first womb, and every womb to come from her womb, he has worked his wonder of creation and is still doing it to this day. He's never stopped. David understood this. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, speaking to God, praying to God, praising God, you formed my inward parts. You think David thought he was an accident? No, he was an intentional work of God's own hands. He is saying to God, you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, which was a euphemism for the womb. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. No, David was not an accident. You and I are not accidents. No matter what the circumstances of a baby being conceived in the womb, the conception itself is never an accident. That is the work of God. So from the beginning, we see the essential calling of motherhood that God has never changed. Guys, you'll scour the Bible from cover to cover, and you will never see one place where God has ever turned this commission away. You know, we study the Mosaic Law under the under the Old Covenant, what we call the Old Covenant. The Bible makes a point to say to us, especially in Hebrews, which we'll dig into if the Lord's willing that I preach through that while I'm here. It makes a point to say, to understand that we have a new covenant in Christ, we must understand that means that the old covenant is passing away. If something new is coming, the old must go, right? And God makes a point to show us that in Christ, everything from the old covenant is fulfilled. So that the way they had to keep the old covenant, the steps they had to go through under the old covenant, no longer apply to us now. We don't have to do what Old Testament Israel did. We don't have to do the things they were still supposed to be doing right up until the crucifixion of Christ. Because now, for us, everything they were doing leading up to the cross, on this side of the cross, is all fulfilled and settled. We're taught that very specifically in Scripture. But nowhere in Scripture do we ever see God lift this commission. Be fruitful and multiply. It's never changed. Guys, it's not enough to honor and love our mothers. The church needs to get a fresh grip on honoring and loving motherhood itself. As God intends it, not as we want to bend it. Now, God has unique callings on specific people. And specific people face unique circumstances, sometimes very painful ones, that need to be taken into account. And I will tell you, not the 22nd, but the 29th, the evening of the 29th, we are coming back to this. And we are going to talk about some of those unique circumstances, some of those painful trials regarding motherhood that many women have been through. The issue of singleness in regards to this. The issue of barrenness in regards to this. We'll come back and we'll talk about all that. But again, I am stressing here the general truth that we are to embrace. Motherhood is not something for us to bend to our personal preferences. And that's what so many people believe today. And listen to me, I've known them in churches. I want you to imagine some things Adam and Eve could have said to God in that moment. Imagine Adam saying, you know, I would like to retire one day and having a lot of kids might make that difficult. What was his job? What does it say God put him in the garden to do? Cultivate and keep it. How long do you think he was going to have to cultivate and keep having all those children? It's going to be a while. Imagine him saying, you know, I sure like the way my wife looks. Having a lot of kids might mess that up. Imagine Eve saying, you know, I like the way I look. And having a bunch of babies might mess me up. I would like to travel and see this world you made, God. And, you know, it would be hard to do that with a baby on my hip and one around my ankle. Can I just have, you know, a certain number and you figure out something else to do to get the rest? How do you think that would have gone over? Guys, listen to me. Do you remember how Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness? What was the third and ultimate temptation he laid in front of him? Here's the world. All you have to do is hit a knee. I'll give it all to you. You can bypass the cross. You can bypass all this suffering. I know what God has told you. I know what he's promised you. and what he's going to give you. I know you've got a kingdom coming, but listen to me. I'll step out of your way and you can set it up now. All you got to do is hit a knee. What does the Bible say about his tactics? They never change. What do you think he's whispering in our ears today? You're going to have a lot more of this world if you have less kids. Just don't have kids at all. Guys, of all the people that should see through this deception, it's us Christians. We should see this issue through the lens of God's Word and embrace His intention for motherhood. Of all the people that should still be fruitful and multiplying His image on earth, it's us. It's us. Because it's never changed. As we wrap it up, I want to remind you that it is through a mother that came our Savior. He didn't have a father. He had a stepfather, a wonderful man. Thank God for Joseph. But he had a mother. Through motherhood came salvation. You think that was an accident? It was a wonderful plan of God. Guys, it was a clear statement. Paul, Galatians 4, 4 and 5, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His own Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Praise God. You know why He was born of a woman and not of a man? How did the curse come into the world? It came through a man. We know that Eve was the first to fall, but it was through Adam that came the ultimate fall. It was through Adam that came the curse of the sin nature. And so it had to be in a break from Adam that God broke the curse in man. And so He sent His Son, born of a woman, and not born of Adam. Through motherhood came our salvation. Do you know God's Son is your Redeemer? Born of a woman without the curse of fallen man so that He could break the curse for us. That curse must be broken in your heart, in your spirit, to stand before Him one day at His return, and that will be a very real day for us when He comes back. And I hope you're ready. And I hope you leave here understanding just how significant, how wonderful the truth of not just mom is, but the truth of motherhood is. From our Creator to our Redeemer. What a wonderful gift of God to us is motherhood. Thank you, Lord. Lewis.